message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad that you've joined us today, and we trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. As we're going to look again today, back in the book of Romans. Now we've come, if you've been studying with us, and if you don't tune in the broadcast each week and see our program each time it's aired, I trust you will. Make this a habit. We get people write us and call us in response to the program, and somebody wrote and said, well, you know, you're not very dramatic. Well, we're not trying to be dramatic. What we're trying to do is study the Bible. And this is not a drama class. This is a Bible class, and we're studying. And somebody says, well, but you're way over the heads of most people. Well, you need to understand there's a lot of stuff in the Word of God that's not just milk. Now, we're going over in the book of Romans, and we've come to a real critical point in the book of Romans where there's some things that you need to understand. But you need to understand, folks, that God desires you to know some things. Salvation and eternal life and forgiveness of sins and the life that's ours in Christ is not religious ritual. And it's not just going to church and genuflection and saying some prayers that you've learned to recite. It's not those kind of things that we're talking about. We're talking about the life of God deposited in our bodies of flesh and Jesus Christ Himself living in us and through us for God's glory. And that based upon faith and an intelligent understanding of God's Word to us. And God desires our faith, and He desires our worship, but He desires it in response to an intelligent understanding of what His Word says. Now, if it's God's Word, and it is, then you wouldn't expect it to be something that was just, you know, took just a few days or a few times through it to get to the bottom of it. You'd expect God's Word to be as deep as God Himself is. So you know immediately you're not ever going to fathom it all the way. But don't fall for the idea that because it's God's Word and it is deep and it is eternal and there's so much to learn in it that you can't know it. Because one of the things that God does, one of the divine operating assets that God gives you when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He not only gives you the written Word of God, but He gives you the indwelling Spirit of God as the teacher. And one of the primary ministries of God the Holy Spirit in your life and my life as believers is that of teaching us the Word of God. Eye hasn't seen, the Bible says, and ear hasn't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us, and He's revealed them in His Word. So as we study the Bible, as we get into the Word of God, what we're finding in the Word of God as we do that, we're finding the information that helps us to know the things that God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that are freely given to us of God. And so that's why we study the Bible, not just read it, not just talk about it, but get into it and study it. And it's the consistent intake of Bible truth, of sound doctrine out of the Word of God rightly divided that's going to build you up in His grace and then enable you to live on a daily basis for God's glory. Now, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you're interested in studying the Bible a little bit. Maybe you're just tuned in out of curiosity at some strange thing being on your television. Maybe you have a real heart's desire to know that all of your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life as a present possession and that you have a home in heaven and that right now God's life can live in you and through you for His glory, and God can do His will through you. Maybe that's of interest to you, but you've never come to the place where you've personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, rested and put your faith exclusively in Him as your Savior. I trust that our time together and studying God's Word will help you to see the difference between religion, things that you can do, things that you try to do, things that you seek to offer God on your own behalf, and what God Himself, the difference between that and what God Himself has provided for you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary and died for everything, and died there to pay for everything that's wrong with you. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died as a payment and a ransom for you. He did enough to satisfy God. He did it for you. And it does, what He did at Calvary does satisfy the justice of God And if you'll believe what God believes about the value of the death and resurrection of His Son, then God will save you that instant. And when you get saved, when you become a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus, then you get into the Word of God and you find out that there's a tremendous amount of information in God's Word about what God has accomplished for us in Christ. And that God, when He gave you eternal life, He gave you a great package, as it were, full of wonderful assets. And it all comes about through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary and died there as the songwriter calls it, on the old rugged cross, when Christ died there, that event, when He died and was buried and then was raised again the third day, that trinity of events, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in your behalf, is expounded for you in the book of Romans in your Bible. If you ever wanted to read about all that God has accomplished and what God has done through the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a special book in the Bible given especially to lay that information out, and that's the book of Romans. And we've been studying Romans week after week here, and we've come now to chapter number 6. And we've arrived at a critical point in Romans where we're going to change thinking a little bit from what we've been discussing in the first 5 chapters. We're going to move on in chapter 6, 7, and 8 into some new things. The first 5 chapters of the book of Romans deal with the finality of the cross. They deal with getting started in the Christian life in a proper way. They deal with our position in Adam in time past. They deal with our sins, and they deal with how we've been taken. Our sins have been placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, and we've been placed in Him, and in Christ we've been given His righteousness, and we've been made the righteousness of God in Him. In time past, before we got saved, we were in our sins. Now we are in Christ, and in Christ we have His righteousness. The natural man, the way we were when we came into this world, was in our sins. But what we learn in the first 5 chapters of the book of Romans, in chapter number 2, for example, of the book of Romans, verse number 6, he says, God will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, what will God give them? If you have absolute perfect righteousness, if you're perfect today. Now, you know, when I say that, I know you got a problem, because you're not. A man said one time, he said, you got to be perfect to go to heaven. Well, I got a problem. I'm not perfect. But if you were perfect, here's what God says He would do. If you, by patient continuance in well-doing, if you, through a lifetime of perfect righteousness, and that's what you had, was perfect righteousness, God would give you eternal life. But to them who are contentious, that is, they're just self-will. They're going to do it their own way. Do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. What do they get? Indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. No respect of persons with God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We find ourselves over here on this side. And if you want to know what it is to be dealt with by the justice of God, people say, give me justice. When you face God and your own merits, what happens is you come up short. But the justice of God will give eternal life to anyone who has perfect righteousness. But the wages of sin is death. And you know what we have? We're sinners. So death is our lot. But God will give eternal life to anyone who has perfect righteousness. Now, that righteousness that we need is provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been studying this in Romans, chapter number 3. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. What is it? Being justified freely through His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, God Almighty provides justification. That is, God provides a way that His justice can be satisfied with us. How? Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. God takes us out of Adam, out of our sins, out of a position of death, and puts us into Christ over here. And in Christ over here, in Him, in Christ, we have absolute righteousness. God made Him to be sin for us. He took our sin, and God put it on the soul and the body gave his son at Calvary, and he poured out his wrath against our sin there. And in the Lord, when Jesus Christ died, he died for all of our sins, and in order that God might put us in his son over here, and in Christ we have absolute perfect righteousness. And when you have that righteousness, then God is free to give you eternal life. And the basis upon which you get that righteousness and that eternal life is faith. Romans chapter 4, verse number 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not. Now listen. To him that works not. Now that's clear. That's God talking. It's not the works that you bring that are going to make any difference. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted to righteousness. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and shed his blood in order that you might have the righteousness of God, when you trust him, God made him to be sin for us. The one that knew no sin has made our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the way you get in him is by faith, not by you going to work and you're going to do and you're going to bring and you're going to appease God and you're going to make God happy with you, but you're going to trust what God trusts, and that's the finished work of his son at Calvary. We call that the finished work of Christ, the finality of the cross. Sin and the issue of sin and death are settled at the cross, and in Christ we have righteousness and eternal life, because we are in him. And that gives us is given to us on the basis of faith. This transfer from the old life to the new life is done on the basis of faith. Faith resting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. That's why it goes on down in verse 16 of Romans 4 and says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure. The only response that faith, that grace will accept, is faith. And folks, this is a grace program over here. This is a program of God's grace. This is a program over here of works. We're trying to work and get there. It's a program of doing the works of the law. The law is a performance system to seek the blessing from God on the basis of our performance. Grace is a gift principle. It's the system whereby God, as a free gift of his grace, it's the gift of righteousness. It's God freely giving it to us on the basis of what his son did. And faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything, for it's to him that works not but believes that his faith is counted for righteousness. And what happens is it's by faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure. When God does it, the cross takes care of sin completely and totally, and puts God forever deals with our sin there. He resurrects his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in indicating and demonstrating and proving to us that sin has been dealt with. Look at here. Jesus Christ dies for our sins. If there was one sin that he had not put away when he died, then death would have held him. By virtue of the fact that he put away completely and totally sin by the sacrifice of himself, God was free to raise him. What's the answer for death? Life. And had there been any sin that could have held him in death, he could have never been resurrected back to life. That's what we call the finished work, the work's done. Sin has been put away. The finality of the cross. Then when you come to chapter 6 in Romans, you're going to move from the issue of being moved from your sins into his righteousness, out of a position of eternal death, into the possession of eternal life on the basis of faith and the security that is ours over there in Christ. The work and the transaction is finished, and it's on the basis of the gift of his grace. The only response grace will accept is faith. Because faith is the only thing you can do without doing anything, for it's simply trusting what someone else did for you. And you say, that doesn't sound like what I hear in religion. I know it doesn't. Religion is man's effort to bind himself back to God. In fact, the word religion, it's a Latin word, legio, is to bind, and re is to do it again. And what it is for man's, it's man's attempts to get by God's judgment by doing things that please God and that would bind himself back to God. And God says, the thing that satisfies him is what his son did. So the only thing you can do, or I can do, to please God is to trust what God trusts, and whom God set forth to be a propitiation, a fully satisfying sacrifice through faith in His blood. God puts His faith and trust in the blood of Christ to save you and justify you and make you righteous, on which basis He can give you eternal life as a free gift when you believe what God believes. And I got an idea, God knows more about it than you and me. Then we have eternal life. We have the forgiveness that is available and the righteousness that's available. Now, that's the finished work of the cross, the finality of the cross. Now, that's only half of the good news here, though, because not only does He die for our sins, He's raised again over here. And when you get to Romans chapter 6 and Romans 7 and Romans 8, we're going to move from the study of our justification and our being given the right standing in God, in Christ, and the security that we have when we're under the blood. We're going to move from that consideration on into a consideration of the reality of the resurrection. So there's the finality of the cross, but now there is the force and the life of the resurrection that is ours in Christ also. And Romans chapter 6, 7 and 8. Go on with that aspect of the Christian life. Unfortunately, many people will come to know the Lord Jesus. A lot of folks will never come to Christ, never get saved, because they never understand the finality of the cross. They're trying to do something to make God happy with them. A lot of folks will believe that Jesus died for them. I'll have to tell you, I lived many years in a religion, a mainline religion that everyone would know the name if I said it. And there was never a time that I ever doubted that Jesus Christ was God who died at Calvary for my sins, or that He was resurrected. But what I thought He did was that He died at Calvary in order to help me get saved, to help me save myself, and that because of what He did, what I did would have some value. And that when He died for my sins, what He did is He died to pay for that part of my sins that I couldn't fix myself. And so that He would come and get on the scales with me, and He and I would mount up all the things that we did together. Jesus paid a part, and I a part, you know. Sin had left a crimson stain, we washed it white as snow. But see, what I didn't realize is that that isn't the way God would sing that song. You know how God sings it? He says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. When I came to realize that, December 31st, 1962, many years ago now, I passed from death to life because I passed out of Adam and out of my sin and out of myself and what I could do, and God put me into Christ. And when He did, He gave me His righteousness and His life on the basis of the gift of His grace. Now, when that transaction took place, I got His life. The sin question was settled. The issues settled at Calvary, and then I get the life of Christ living in me. And that life was deposited in me, and I was regenerated. And if you've trusted Christ, that happened to you. But you never know about it unless you get in the Word of God to read about it, because you don't feel it. It isn't something that comes and zaps you in the back of the head, you know, and makes your hair stand up and puts some kind of shimmy in your feet and you run around the aisle. It isn't that. It's not a work in your flesh. It's a work in your spirit. It's not something physical and experiential that happens to you. It's something that God does by creating a new man inside of you. It's a spiritual, it's a reality. And it's a relief to know your sins are forgiven, that you're secure in Christ, and that you have His life. But the only way you really understand it is to get into the Word of God. Now, that's why you move in Romans 6, 7, and 8 on into the issue of living under grace. You got to get started right. You got to understand who God's made you in Christ. But then once you get started, you need to understand how to live day in and day out under the program and the administration of God's grace. And that's what Romans 6, 7, and 8 are about. Romans 6, 7, and 8 are going to talk to you not simply about the foundation of your righteousness in Christ, but it's going to begin to open up the package, as it were, and demonstrate to you the new identity that God has given you in Christ, the new person that God has made you in Christ, and the way this new identity that you have is meant to operate and to live in your life on a daily basis. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." You've been given a position in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been placed into Jesus Christ, and thereby you were placed into His death and into His resurrection, and you are now to walk on a daily basis. A walk is that progress that you make through life on a moment by moment, day by day basis. You walk, your life in time on earth, on planet earth, is to be the life of Jesus Christ, this new life living in and through you. And you're to live consistently with this new identity, this new position that God has given you in Christ. In Romans chapter number 7, he deals with the fact. And by the way, he's going to talk to you here about being baptized into Christ. You've been taken out of the old identity that you had, and you've been placed over there into that new identity. There's more than just your sins been taken care of here. There's this nature of sin, and we'll talk more about that next time, that's also been fixed. You've had a complete change in Christ. In chapter number 7, Romans chapter 7, he says in Romans 6, you've got a new position, a new identity in Christ. Live consistent with who you are, this new position. And then he says, not only that, but there's this new program that God's given you. There's a new position in grace, but there's also a new program of grace. Back over here, the program is the law. It's a performance system. Back over here under the law program, the old flesh wants to perform. He wants to do. He can't perform and do anything God will accept, so God gives you the gift of grace. And Romans 7 says you're not under the law, but you're under grace. The principle upon which your life in time as a member of the body of Christ is going to operate is going to be the same as it was when you got saved. How'd you get saved? You got saved. You got eternal life. You got your sins forgiven by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ. It's what He did for you. You know how your Christian life on a daily basis is going to be lived? You see, you don't get saved and then have to go out and bear the load. You know how your life on a daily basis is lived? Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Got eternal life. "Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." The faith of the Son of God. Do you know what Jesus Christ did? Jesus Christ lived the life of faith. He lived the life in absolute, complete dependence on the program of Almighty God. He went to the cross, and the Bible says that He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He told some people one time, he said, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down and I take it up again. This commandment have I received from my Father." And when He went to Calvary, He was obedient to the will of God the Father and going even unto death, trusting in the plan and the purpose of God, that God the Father would raise Him from the dead. He died in faith, believing and understanding that God the Father and God the Holy Spirit would raise Him from the dead. He lived in complete and total faith and dependence upon the program of God. You know how your life over here is going to be lived? The only response grace will accept is faith. If you're trying today to live the Christian life, you'll never get there. People say, "Well, preacher, I'm trying to live it." You'll never live it. The only person that could ever live the Christian life is Jesus Christ. And only as Christ lives in you will it ever be lived in time, in your life, in your marriage, in your home, on your job, in your neighborhood, and in any context you're in. The only way that the Christian life will ever be lived there will be for you not to live it, but to have Christ live it through you. "The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." You see, it isn't enough just to be dead with Christ. It isn't enough just to die. Dead men can't do much. Now, they're free, but it takes a living man, the life, to get up and have the energy. And so when you get to Romans chapter 8, he begins to deal with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We're no longer in the flesh, he says, but now we're in the Spirit. And there is the working of the Spirit of God in the believer now. And Romans chapter 8 talks to us about living consistently on a daily basis with the power of God's Spirit. Now, how does God's Spirit work through us? He says in Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. How does the Spirit of God lead you? Folks, the way the Spirit of God leads you is through the Word of God. To be led by the Spirit. There are two passages where that occurs. One says, Galatians 5:18, if you're led of the Spirit, you'll not be under the law. The Spirit of God never leads you to live over here. He always leads you to live in an appreciation of God's grace to you in Christ. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That is, you'll go over here and live in the new identity that God has given you in Christ. And the way that is accomplished is through the Word of God. The Spirit of God never works apart from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Word of the Spirit. And the Word of God never works apart from the Spirit of God. And the way the Word of God works in your life, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he says that it's the Word of God that works in you that believe. If you'll get in the Word of God, find out what it says, get in God's Word rightly divided, take the book of Romans and study it and understand what those first eight chapters say that God has accomplished for you in Christ, and you'll rest your faith in it, it'll work in you. It will energize and empower you to live the life that God has given you as you just by complete dependence upon God's Word, live in obedience to it. My friend, that's the key. We'll see more about it next time. Until then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Something New to Consider. It sure is free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 251. That's at tape offer number 251. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.